From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing these studies in prayer, Dr. Alan Cairns is examining the structure of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. In a few simple statements, the Lord Jesus Christ explained to his disciples the proper way to approach God in prayer. The very opening words, "Our Father," remind us that as believers we are a richly endowed people. God has given us the Holy Spirit for guidance, for comfort, and for power for service. In addition, as our Father, God supplies all of our needs, physical as well as spiritual. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, however, he reminds us that God is holy and that there is such a thing as the punishment of sin.
You've heard of people whistling in the dark. You know what that means. People pretending nonchalance while all the time they're scared out of their wits, afraid to face the reality of a situation that's confronting them, whistling in the dark, trying to appear happy, unconcerned, when deep down they know that there's every reason to be concerned and to be deeply worried about what's facing them. Most sinners whistle in the dark. Let me ask you a question. Is there a hell? When you put that question to people across America, many people will say no. Even the people who say they believe that there is a heaven will say, no, I don't believe there's a hell. That's whistling in the dark. Conscience warns every one of us to flee from the wrath to come. The law of God, written in the heart, reminds every man that he is accountable to God, that there is a moral accountancy, that God is his judge, and that he will stand before God and give account of the deeds done in the body. No man out of Christ can honestly or wisely look forward to that occasion, because he knows that when the searchlight of God's purity and God's law, God's justice, is turned upon his heart and his life, he cannot and will not measure up. So what do most people do? They simply dismiss the thought. They whistle in the dark. They come up with all sorts of crazy little excuses for not running to Christ for mercy to find God's answer for their sin. They come up with every sort of excuse why they should not immediately repent and be converted. They tell themselves that surely God wouldn't send them to a lost eternity. Surely it can't be so that there is a place of everlasting separation from God and everlasting punishment for sin. Surely they could not possibly perish. Surely their good works will be good enough. Surely God will take their excursions to church into account and their giving to the poor into account. Surely. And so they go on and on and on and on with their little whistles in the dark. My friend, I may tell you, I don't believe in the moon. Doesn't change the fact the moon is there. You may tell me you don't believe in hell, but the Bible says you're wrong. Jesus Christ warns you of that awful place. So do not whistle in the dark. The Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those in the book of life are the blood-washed, the converted, the saved, believers in Jesus Christ, God's people purchased by the blood of Christ's atonement. They and they alone are written in the book of life. Let me ask you, my friend, is your name in that Lamb's book of life? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you redeemed by Christ's sacrifice at Calvary? Have you ever come by personal faith to trust Him as your Savior? If you're a Christian, you don't need to whistle in the dark, because Christ is your light, and He has dispelled the darkness and given you the certainty of eternal light, life, and liberty with Him in everlasting glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
God gives His Holy Spirit not just as an item in our theology, not just as something to which we can give nodding assent, but as a living, vital reality to lead His people day by day, to give His people a consciousness that they are in fellowship with God, and that they are in the center of the will of God, and that they are living well, pleasing to God. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit speak to His people? Sure He can. Not only can He, but He must. He must. And yet as I move among fundamentalists today and Reformed, Calvinistic, separated Bible preaching, supposedly Christ-exalting Christians, I hear this again and again, that this is mere mysticism. They have allowed the Pentecostalist movement or the charismatic movement to take over this idea that the Holy Spirit can speak to His people. We do not believe in ongoing revelation in the sense of an ongoing inspired revelation of new truth from heaven. But what we do believe in is the vital ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit to the people of God to lead them into all the truth that has been revealed in the gospel and to make Christ a living, vital reality to them. This is not mysticism. This is Bible Christianity. And when we leave the Holy Ghost out, we are leaving out the first and fundamental blessing of being among the sons of God. We have received, says Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of or by God. We have received the Spirit in order to know all that is ours in Christ, in order to be led into all that is ours in Christ, in order to enjoy all that is ours in Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit to comfort, to lead, to teach us all the fullness of God and His Son. And of course, especially, He has given us His Spirit to impart to us power to serve Him. You remember what He said through Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, "It is not by might nor by power, it is by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It is not by might, that is by armies. There is no spiritual strength in numbers. I want you to understand that. That's a great mistake that so many people nowadays make. I read something from Chuck Colson a couple of years ago, where he was upbraiding these Bible thumpers, these old separated Protestants, who believed that the Roman Catholic Church was not a Christian church, and whose people needed to be evangelized and to be reached for Christ. And Colson was saying, it's terrible to cut off all these hundreds of millions of people from the church, because if we do that, as if, you know, we could admit them to the church, as if Chuck Colson saying they're Christians makes them Christians. I mean, the thing is ludicrous. But he's saying, by cutting them off, we are going out to fight humanism and Islam and all the other things that would confront us in our stand for God. And as we go out, we're cutting off 400 or 500 million soldiers who would fight with us in the army on the same side of the battle. He's got it all wrong. You can talk about numbers when you're talking about votes for Congress or something like that. But when you're fighting a spiritual warfare, it is not by armies. It is not by numbers. And all the numbers in the world, if they are not numbers of in spirit indwelt and spirit filled men and women, they are on the other side. They are what used to be called a fifth column. They are the Trojan horse, however you want to describe them. They are supposedly with you, but they're actually fighting on the other side of the spiritual warfare. It's not by numbers, nor is it by human power. It's not by human greatness. It's not by strength of intellect. It's not by power of utterance. It's not by the mighty efforts of the arm of flesh. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Nowadays, when churches want to get something done, they call a committee meeting. They call especially a committee put together of as many different groups as they possibly can. They advertise it. They give it as much airtime as possible. Even when they're having times of prayer and fasting, the whole idea is now to advertise it because of the impact that it's going to have on other people. I would suggest to you that that is to deny the very meaning of prayer and fasting. And it is to fly completely in the face of what the Lord Jesus teaches us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when if his words mean anything, he says this is something that should not be the matter or the subject of advertising. What did our forefathers do in such a situation? They got before God for an outpouring of his Spirit, for a mighty endowment of his power, because they realized we may multiply numbers, we may exercise great human strength, but unless we have the Spirit of God, we will build nothing worthy of the name of our God. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Father has made this available to us. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. That's the promise. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And later on in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says in verse 31, therefore take no thought. The idea of thought is, of course, anxious thought. Do not be full of care or over anxious. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He supplies all your needs. When we were staying in the Greer home for the week of prayer, just this last week, on Thursday night, we all sat down together and we watched Dr. Ken Connolly's latest video on the life of George Mueller. And he has a strange title to that, which actually escapes me as to its fullness at the moment, but the idea, and I may have got the first word wrong, but the idea in it is, as he studied Mueller's life, that it was a challenge to his comfort. In other words, he said, as I sat and studied the life of George Mueller, with thousands of orphan mouths to feed, with tens of thousands of pounds, that would be going in those days into hundreds of thousands of dollars careers. This is the middle of the last century, mind you. Without making the need known to anyone on earth but God. Dr. Connolly said, as I pondered that, it ruined my comfort. You see, we can pay lip service. He supplies all our needs as long as we worry enough about it. He supplies all our needs as long as we work hard enough. Well, obviously we're supposed to work hard. But the simple final truth of the matter is, God does supply the needs of His people. And we come crying, "Our Father," we are saying, "Lord, we believe Your word when You said, 'Open Your mouth wide and I will fill it.' I'll supply your need."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.